This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, upholding safety of women and children. The participants are Professor Aradhana Parmar, Dean, Faculty of Law, Maharishi Arvind University, Jaipur, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
In today's program, we will discuss about the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita 2023, the statute which is to come into effect from the 1st of July 2024 to replace the Indian Penal Code of 1860. To understand the importance of this act specifically, our focus is on Chapter 5, which is on offences against women and child, and how women are being protected under this act which is to come into effect from the 1st of July. And to discuss this, we have Dr. Aradhana Parmar, who is a Director of Research and Dean, Faculty of Law at the Maharishi Arvind University at Jaipur. Dr. Parmar, a warm welcome to you in the program.
Thank you, Arjun.
Dr. Parmar, our focus is on Chapter 5. How is this specific chapter in the BNS 2023 different from the Indian Penal Code of 1860 when we are talking about upholding the safety of women?
Yes, Arjun, as you said, we have replaced IPC by BNS 2023. So, undoubtedly, offenses were mentioned and given in the IPC also, but in this new law, we have given the priority to the women and the children because there was much concern of safety for at the national level and at the other levels too. So, keeping in mind the international talks regarding this, we have taken an initiative which is very appreciable that we have mentioned the new things also, the acts which are going against the women and the children, because in the cyber world, there are certain offenses which were not previously mentioned specifically in the IPC. In the new laws, it's a victim-centric law, and we have given much priority to the women and the children. We have defined the offenses against them very briefly, and we have made the stringent laws which penalize person with more punishment, even to the death sentence also in the cases of the rape below the age of 12 years of girl. And we have tried to make it a gender-neutral law with the new digitization and with the concept of zero FIR, EFIR, and another thing we have added to it, the victim compensation provision, which will definitely help the women and children to reintegrate and rehabilitate and to live a normal life after being a victimized.
So for the benefit of our listeners who are the electorate, those who listen to the program, we have to draw a distinction between substantive law and procedural law. Substantive law defining the offences such as what the BNS 2023 attempts to do.
Yes.
Regarding the safety of women. When it comes to the procedural aspect of it, we file the FIR or the zero FIR so that the enforcement
yes.
agency concerned, the police, can take action and follow due process, which is also available under the Constitution. So specifically, if we try and understand substantively the meaning of the criminal offense perpetrated, if you look at sexual offenses here in Chapter 5 itself, there is rape, gang rape, and punishment which is more severe for the repeated mm-hmm. offender. And you also mentioned about punishments being more severe because this act is victim-centric. How were the provisions yes. specific to rape and gang rape, which are very serious sexual offences, how are they being defined in the BNS Act?
Actually, in BNS, we have defined these laws separately and we have categorized it in the age group that if the offence of rape is committed to the girl or women above 18 years, then above 16, then 12. So we have defined it separately and there are certain offenses like rape, gang rape in that. Just considering the severity of the act by the rapist or any group of rapists, we have given a punishment of death sentence even. And its sentence is from 10 years in case of 18 years. It's a life imprisonment or 20 years. Then in case of 12 years of girl, it's death sentence or 20 years life imprisonment. So this is how, with the gravity and severity offense, we have enhanced the punishment of that too. So undoubtedly, the more punishment will control such acts and will give a message to the criminals that it's not easy to come out of this law.
So it is preventive in
yes,
nature,
sir.
Because apart from the sexual offences being committed, and of course it has to be proven under the Evidence Act as well and the procedure available, accused may be responsible for murder, as you just mentioned, or culpable homicide amounting to murder in such cases.
Yes.
So the punishment is more severe, and it's basically to prevent offences of this kind from being perpetrated in the first place. Well, the other part of Chapter 5, when we talk about offences against women and child in BNS 2023, involves criminal force and assault against women, where other aspects not covered under the IPC 1860, because at that point in time, stalking and voyeurism were not the same as it is today because of the digital age and the social media and the access to the mobile phone. So the misuse of these kind of devices, how is this act addressing it?
As I said, now the modus operandi and the devices used to commit a crime are not so conventional. So, keeping in mind the digital world or the cyber world, we have introduced some terms where we are finding the limitation in the IPC to punish the criminal. So specifically here we define the voyeurism and stalking. It means that you are using some kind of tactics or you are using methods to degrade the woman or to hurt her dignity. So here we had made the provision of the punishment of 7 years as well as of the fine. I think that is much equivalent to, though it is not a kind of rape, but somewhere the using of the criminal force or assaulting a woman is just making her so much uneasy to live a simple life. So keeping the dignity of the woman, we have specifically mentioned these laws, and for these we have made the punishment of 7 years, 3 years, depending on if the person is repeating it, and then 5 years, and as well as the fine too.
So, apart from the definition of the offences being committed by the accused, you believe that under tort and civil law, apart from the criminal definition of these offences, the victim is also entitled to compensation, damages from the accused for the harm done to her?
Yes. We have made a provision in this BNS for the victim compensation. Previously, it was there in Criminal Procedure Code too. But now we have well defined it that this law is keeping in mind the welfare of all. Means we regard the rights as well as the dignity of all. Even of the accused, we have given certain rights like the right of arrest and to know the reason of arrest. Then we have given equal weightage to the witness because we are asking the states to give the witness protection scheme. And then comes the victim. So here the involvement of victim is everywhere. We ask for a compensation to them. Medical treatment to the victim, and that is free of cost when it was done to the person and it is not possible to take to the hospital. So the nearest clinic or the hospital, whether it's a government hospital or private hospital, they have duty bound to give a treatment to the person that we call the first aid kind of treatment. And then previously it was not there that during the trial when the prosecution wants to withdraw the case, they can withdraw. But in these new laws, we had made the provisions that without the consent of the victim, case cannot be withdrawn. And everywhere where it is required, we have given a due weightage to the victim. Even the provision is made that within the 90 days, in case of non-cognizable cases, the investigating officer has to update the victim as well as the person concerned to the case that what is going on in the case and at what stage the investigation or any legal procedure is.
So these are the provisions available under the procedural side of the reforms carried out.
Yes.
When we address substantively, my focus now would be on offences relating to marriage. You have the definition of cruelty, for instance, your application for divorce, where cruelty is a very important factor that is required to be proved if you're demanding divorce, a contested divorce case, for instance. You have other acts like the Domestic Violence Act, you have dowry prohibition. How is these specific provisions different from that? Will it confuse the enforcement agencies or will it help them in understanding whether a criminal offence has been committed by the accused or not?
Yeah, definitely. It's a serious kind of concern. It was previously mentioned that, as you said, the cruelty was not defined anywhere in the IPC. So the ambit of the definition was too wide. But now it has been defined so that the person can know that what kind of act they are doing and what kind of nature of the act can amount to cruelty. So though other laws were there, domestic laws, there itself it is not defined because the cruelty means the physical as well as the mental cruelty. So it depends that how the person is affected and changes the life of the person and the health of the women. So here specifically if we talk about the BNS, it is specifically for the women that it is concerned with the mental and physical health of the women.
What about causing miscarriage, Dr. Parmar? Because there is the other aspect under Section 88 on, causing miscarriage which may lead to culpable homicide, blameworthy death of the victim in this case.
If we talk about this particularly causing of miscarriage, so here also, if it was not done in a good faith, it was not concerned with the health of the women, so it can be punished with 3 years or to the 7 years or imprisonment, it depends. So without the consent of the women, it is penalized for 10 years, and the act was done medically, it is required, then it's okay. Otherwise, if the death is caused of the women, other sections were there, 88, 89, 90, they all dealt with these kind of things, the miscarriages. So here the punishment is from 3 years to 7 years, then 10 years, that depends. So death caused by the act with the intent to cause miscarriage, it was also punished here with the 10 years of imprisonment. And if we talk about sometimes the people say that it's the consent of the woman, so that is also immaterial. So act done with the intent to prevent the child being born alive, then it's okay. And if it is with the intent to cause the death of the child, it will definitely comes into the ambit of the culpable homicide.
Dr. Parmar, we also have a provision under Section 81 on cohabitation. Is this related to offences when the parties are married to each other, or does it also touch upon live-in relationships when you mention cohabitation?
When we talk about cohabitation caused by the man deceitfully inducing belief of lawful marriage to the person, it's very dicey to say that in the live-in relationship it also applies. Judgment given by the Supreme Court regarding this, that if the person deceives the woman and does any kind of cohabitation or sexual intercourse with the woman, so he will be punished with the 10 years of imprisonment and the fine. So deceit is important, that if the person wants to deceive the woman and who is not lawfully married, so here it is clear that it applies to the not lawfully married, means it applies to the live-in relationship too.
So there should not be any deception. That is, I think, what our listeners need to understand, that cohabitation should not be under a deceitful cover on the part of the accused. So finally, I would like to ask you about offences against the child. It can be a male child or a female child, and you have female infanticide addressed under Section 94. And then more importantly, equally importantly, I would say, buying and selling of a child for the purpose of prostitution under Sections 98 and 99. How important do you see these provisions in removing not just prostitution but also beggary?
Actually, as you said, that we specific substantial law deals with the severe kind of offenses in general. Somewhere we have taken the references of the special laws, but somewhere we have left those parts which were exclusively covered by the special laws. So here in general, the offenses against the children are like the sexual offenses are also there against the children, and here we consider both male and female. So there is nothing like we have worked more on the gender neutrality in the law. So the offenses can be of buying, selling, and for the prostitution purpose, as you said. So here the children, they are sexually exploited, and the bonds were made by their involvement. And even we hire the children, employ them in the labor also, which is an illegal kind of work. So the punishment has been given for all these offenses because children are more vulnerable to such things. When a female under the age of 18 years is sold, she can be used for the prostitution and for other purposes too. We have made an age group of 10 years, 18 years, 16, depending upon the offense, the nature of the offense. And we have penalized all the things. We haven't considered the beggary over here. In general, we have covered all the offenses against the children and where the children are used to commit the offense. We want all to be a part of this criminal administrative justice system so that the justice can be done and we can make all aware of this thing, live and let live.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Dr. Aradhana Parmar, for being with us on this program and telling us what are the most important features when it comes to upholding the safety of women under the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhit. Thank you so much, ma'am, for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Arshan.
You were listening to a discussion on Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, upholding safety of women and children. The participants were Professor Aradhana Parmar, Dean, Faculty of Law, Maharishi Arvind University, Jaipur, and Arjun Chaudhary, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.